You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Sam Bradford is to quarterbacking as Sam Bradford is to handsomeness.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Is it ideal? No. Is it perfect? No. Is it Tom Brady? No. Can you score with him? I think so.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I am still absolutely reeling at the idea of Sonic Cherry Limeade Hard Seltzers, man. Somebody else, I don't even know if this is real or if this is me being fooled by a good Photoshop, but I saw somebody posted a meme of Bang Energy having a seltzer coming soon. But it also said caffeine free on the bottom, so it's not just like a Four Loko in disguise. Which at that point, why is Bang the brand needing a hard seltzer? I don't know that I get it.
Every brand needs a hard seltzer?
That's true.
I mean, they don't, but they all think they do.
And they kind of might.
Yeah, maybe. People will buy it. Like, that's the thing. People will absolutely buy the Bang hard seltzer.
We're probably past the point of needing new hard seltzers. Because White Claw and Truly blew up. Mm-hmm. And then you get your Bud Light seltzers, your Corona seltzers. I think Miller Lite has a seltzer now that I haven't tried.
Probably.
And I'll
listen. Coors has them.
Haven't had the Coors one.
I like their design of their cans. They're very simple, but it's a good design.
Here's the thing. If you right now listening are like a part of an advertising agency, you know, that was trying to get some more visibility for any hard seltzer, I will be a flawless spokesperson because I have not met a hard seltzer that I didn't love.
That's a good point though. Like, I have not had one where I've been like, oh, this wasn't very good. No, they're all just very good.
The worst hard seltzer I've ever had has been like, I mean, I'm gonna finish it and then just keep drinking them. Probably
it's really hard to like mess up the hard seltzer. Like, I'm sure you can, but it's just like it's hard. If you're a competent company, which, you know, hey, these companies are
ones. I didn't even mention the Boulevard ones. Did you ever try the Boulevard ones?
I've not tried the Boulevard ones.
Oh, they're really good.
Yeah, I bet they are.
They're really excellent. I will drink or promote any brand's hard seltzer. I am just especially jazzed about the Sonic one, which also at this point makes me think that I ought to just, you know, Friday night after the show, I ought to just go by the Sonic across the street, order a bucket of like strawberry limeade, and then just go home and introduce my bucket of strawberry limeade to my bucket of vodka and just see what happens, to see if they're friends. I bet they'd get along great.
It's weird that you store your alcohol in a bucket, but
it's just easier that way.
That's fair.
It's just easier that way because whenever I stick my entire head in it and I lap it up like a dog, is that
what you mean by bucket quarterback?
See, I was
yes. Yeah,
I was thinking you laid on your back while Renee just like dumped it out. Just
Scout's just watching from the corner.
Scout's drunk all the time because I make a very big mess, and sometimes I just leave the booze bucket, which is what I call it, just out in the kitchen, and then Scout comes over and laps it up. Scout is just constantly. Scout's either having
Explains
the best or worst
why
life.
Scout is always eating like underwear and trying to jump off the balcony of the house.
That's true.
Everything now.
It really does. She has gotten so sad lately because for a good long while in there, either Renee or I were home almost all the time. And now we've gotten to this point where Renee's leaving in the afternoons. I'm leaving in the afternoons most of the time. And occasionally I leave second, which means that Scout has to hit me with the literal puppy dog eyes of like, why do you hate me? Why are you abandoning me? Will I ever see you again? Will you be back? I have object permanence issues. I am a dog. And that's gotten tough. I've started just bribing her with a treat, but now she looks at me knowing that a treat is coming whenever I like put my shoes on. So at least as I leave, she's not thinking about the fact that I'm abandoning her, I imagine. But then it's, you know, eat the treat and then the house is empty.
It's like, oh no, I'm alone.
It's honestly very depressing to think about. But then she gets very excited whenever anyone gets home. And I mean, if you were a burglar breaking into the house right now, Scout would be so glad to see you just because he would be a person. Please don't break into my house. This is still more of a long reach from last segment to this one, but I've been meaning to play this audio now for the last two shows. I forgot about it yesterday, because on Tuesday, Chris Jones announced the launch of his Sac Nation Foundation. They had sort of a launch event at one of the, I believe it was called the Head Start Center, the YMCA Head Start Center in Kansas City. And you know, Chris Jones was on a Zoom call, and there were a bunch of, like, classrooms of kids that were all on Zoom calls, and there were a few of us media folks that were there. I was there. Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 was there. Somebody else who's, you know, once was alive to this show, now is dead to the show. Not who you're thinking of.
R.I.P.
But if I switch the first and last letter, if I switch the first letter of his first name and last name, it would be something even funnier than just not saying his name. That is your hint.
I have no idea.
Neither one
about.
Of you guys do, and I'll tell you at some point. And anyone, if you figure it out, it's very funny. Because we've talked about, you know, our long-lost Cent Quanson.
See, that's who I thought you were talking about.
No. There's another person who was once a friend of the show.
Keith Sizer.
No. Who is gone on to, you know, bigger and better things.
Meard's Big Fly.
You got nervous at Big Fly because you got afraid.
I had to think about it a little bit.
Sick Mafer. No.
He's tomorrow.
But there were a handful
God,
of us
I
there.
Hope he's tomorrow.
There were a few people that were on digitally and everything. But and it was cool to get to see, you know, him kick off a foundation that's gonna have several points of contact in Kansas City, several in his hometown, and you know, it's going to do hopefully a lot of good work. It was very cool. But one of the things that I thought was interesting is he had some, like, prepared statements at the beginning, and then he took some questions from a couple of kids, one of whom asked if he could play basketball. And he said yes, noting that basketball was his first love, but that football ended up being a little more bright in his future, which I would say made the right call on that one. Someone asked if girls can play football, which he answered very well, I thought. That was another kind of nice moment. And then he took some questions from the various media folks that were there, myself included. And one thing that caught my ear at the very beginning in his prepared remarks was he was saying, he, like, specifically thanked Mark Donovan, the Hunt family, Andy Reid, and Brett Veach.
Not the Clarks.
I was ready for a Clarks Hunt family. He got it. And
so we got it wrong.
Yeah, that's correct. And I thought that was sort of interesting, and at the very least, I was curious to get see if he would expand on that a little bit as to why he would go through and thank those people specifically. Not because there's no reason to, but because Mark Donovan, totally understand. He's the president. So he's, you know, taking care of a lot of brand and, like, financial things, I imagine. So he makes sense to be a part of it. The Hunt family, I imagine that they, you know, that they provided Chris Jones with any sort of extra direction he may have wanted to get a foundation set up and everything. Brett Veach was the one that I thought was most interesting, though. And he ended up having the most interesting answer about Veach just because I don't feel like you hear very much about a relationship between players and GMs. Again, the Hunt and Donovan thing makes sense. They're like business guys, and this is kind of a business endeavor in some way. Andy Reid, totally understand. He's the head coach of your team. You see that dude out there every single day. But Brett Veach, I don't know. I didn't. It just sort of caught my ear. So you'll hear my question here as well, just for the sake of full context. But I wanted to ask if he would expand a little bit on why he specifically called out each of those people and what impact they had throughout this process. I thought specifically what he said about Veach here was the most interesting.
Chris, you mentioned at the beginning, you specifically thanked Andy Reid and Brett Veach and Mark Donovan and the Hunt family. What did all of them do collectively or individually to help you form this foundation and to make the decisions that led up to today?
Well, the team behind me, the supporting cast, I've had great support throughout my career from those guys. Brett Veach, he's like, you know, let's just take away from the business aspect of it. Me and Brett Veach have a personal relationship that I respect him so much. Coach Andy Reid, you know, as well as Brett Veach. You know, we have our own personal relationship, much respect. The Hunt family took a chance on a kid from Houston, Mississippi, and gave me the opportunity to play the game I love so much. And the president, Mark Donovan, he's been spectacular. And, you know, I have to give those guys some props, because without that group of team right there, I don't know if I'll be here in Kansas City or be in this position.
I just think that becomes even more interesting. And look, is that earth shattering? Is that going to change, the trajectory of Chris Jones in Kansas City forever? I have no idea. But specifically within the context of the conversation we just had for the last 45 minutes about how the Texans and the Seahawks can't make their stars feel like they're even being listened to in meetings about how to make the football team as good as possible, it's just such a stark contrast. And again, the Veach thing is kind of interesting, because sometimes you can say things by not saying them, for lack of a better term. You can just not, if he would have not thanked Brett Veach, that would have not even registered to me. I would be like, ooh, that's kind of interesting. I was going to say by admission, and the word I was looking for was omission, and I got there. You can say a lot by omission. You can say a lot by who you don't thank, and sometimes even just mentioning someone you can lead to a larger story there. I didn't know that Chris Jones and Brett Veach had some, like, you know, great personal relationship where he wants to bring that up in front of the media in a press conference for his foundation that way. I just didn't know that was a factor there. And I would like to think that every organization would do an excellent job trying to help their star players set up foundations that will help them give back both to their hometowns and to the communities that they're currently playing football in. But I just think you can look around and see that is clearly not the case just around the league, even with stars that are as impactful as Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Again, you know, is that gonna decide if the Chiefs go to back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls? No. But it probably means that Chris Jones isn't going to end up having his agent text Adam Schefter in a couple of years saying that he'd like to be traded to the Cowboys or whatever.
No, that he's not looking to get traded.
Sorry,
but he
point.
Would be willing to go to the Cowboys or the Bears or the Eagles or whoever.
If you missed that earlier, that's the Russell Wilson situation at the moment. Also, by the way, Chris Jones had I don't want to say like a nasty contract negotiation or anything. I don't know, nor do I believe that to be true. But Chris Jones had a pretty major kind of couple year long contract discussions that were, I'm sure, tense at times, trying to figure out, hey, is he going to be at camp, and what's the deal going to be with the franchise tag, and when is it reasonable to extend him, and what's that contract going to look like? I imagine that even within the understanding that it's all business, you can probably lose some relationships between players and front office members during those times when you find out that maybe they don't value you quite like you thought they did. Chris Jones came out on the other side of that and is specifically mentioning all those people by name, you know, setting up this foundation and all. So we don't have to belabor the point. But I wanted to give you that audio clip and just something kind of interesting to keep in mind, especially as we look around and see a whole bunch of NFL organizations having an extremely hard time being even functional enough to keep their quarterbacks on the team, which is a pretty stark contrast. So I don't know. I don't know what the future will hold for the remainder of Chris Jones's career in Kansas City. I don't know if he'll get another contract in a couple of years. I don't know, you know, how long or how much his foundation will ultimately be able to do. I you know, a lot of that stuff is just only going to be decided by time. But I thought that was pretty interesting. So let's take a break. Whenever we come back, we're going to do something completely different. We're going to do Shot Clock Reviews next here on Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Like, I was going to throw it a break even, but you were very, like, into whatever it was you were working on.
I'm working on something. It'll show up later.
Okay. That's unnerving.
You and I will appreciate it. I don't know how much everybody else will.
Wow. Save that for posterity. Almost Entirely Sports. You and I will enjoy it. I'm not sure if anybody else will.
I mean, that's all that matters, right?
put that on the show's gravestone, whatever that is. Like, well, listen.
Almost Sorry Sports. We don't care about our fans.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that show was on for, what, a few months? Yeah, what happened? Oh, they were having a good time, but literally no one else liked it. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that'd do it.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Shot clock reviews in just a second, but first, a bunch of things from the Twitch comments. In fact, there's so many Twitch comments last segment that there's some of that I can't even see anymore. But acknowledging that pretty much all of these came from Aspen, Human Torch, Bad News I Tried, Honey Makes Me Happy, and Chaotic Warrior on the Twitch as well. Now, several things. One, somebody mentioned that the transition from listening in podcast to watching on Twitch has been tougher during the commercial breaks because you got used to not having to be around for commercial. I understand. I get it. Someone else brought up, and then it was seconded also in the chat, that you'd like to be able to hear us during commercials. I would love to be able to do that again. We used to be able to do that on ESPN Kansas City. Our tech setup down here does not have that capability at the moment.
No, we do not have the ability to do that. Basically, we were pulling from different inputs down on ESPN right. Kansas City, and the one input we're pulling from down here is the one that goes over the air.
So that might be like a deep into the future, see how well this all goes sort of situation. But I wanted to acknowledge that that's something we used to be able to do. And yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe at some point. Because I will say that there are some things that are in different rooms in the building right now that are, I think, closer to being usable. Like a couple of rooms back behind Beards. That maybe eventually that's something we're able to play with a little bit more. But unfortunately, not just yet. Also, someone else mentioned that, you know, on Twitch you can have polls up during the show. You can, like, bet your channel points and everything. That whenever we end up having mods that can set that up. I was thinking about that today as I was going through our 810 Twitch channel settings. Whenever our next intern graces our lives, their job is going to be very stream heavy, I imagine, and could be very, very good. I'm imagining any of our previous interns having that amount of power of being allowed to make polls on the Twitch channels. I like that a lot. Maybe eventually also we entrust some of our subscribers to help us do that. But also, Aspen was mentioning that they've gone back and listened to the AES that we were doing as Jazz Thunder was happening at this time a little over a year ago, little under a year ago, as the show that was happening as the sports world was shutting down due to COVID. Very interesting, I imagine. I imagine that listening experience had some pretty crazy moments and then also some times we had to sound outrageously stupid in retrospect. But a bunch of things from the Twitch.
So normal show.
Absolutely normal show. I'll make one more plug for everyone who listens on the podcast over the air and whatnot. Also, we won't always, you know, get to every comment or whatever. But if you like this show enough to think, I'd like to watch this show basically with other people who really like this show, the Twitch is pulling that off better than any of the other streams ever have. Of people that are kind of just watching and listening together and interacting together, which I've been really, really, it really makes me very happy, because it just adds a whole other element to the entertainment process and to this wonderful, bleeped up, almost entirely community. So I've enjoyed that very much. Without further ado, it's time for Shot Clock Reviews. Here's how it works. If you're new to the show, we play Shot Clock, NBA Shot Clock, 24 seconds. We don't need to talk about anything for anything longer than that. We bounce around from all three of us, reviewing things that we have come up, that we have watched, listened to, read, eaten, bought, who knows, since the last time we did a Shot Clock Reviews, and we have 24 seconds to review them, then we rank it out of 10. It's out of 10, right?
Yes.
And it goes like this. I'll go first. We need the music, I guess, though, right? Do we need the music?
No, we don't need music.
I get that wrong every time. Every time I think there's supposed to be music.
Is this your Shot Clock review?
Is my first one.
Okay.
This is my review of me never remembering how this segment works and that I acknowledge it even as the segment begins.
I think this is the first time you're getting it wrong.
No, I always wonder if there's supposed to be music. It feels like there should be music, but there's also the audio form of the Shot Clock, so having extra music would be totally unnecessary. Shot Clock reviews are a 9 out of 10. All right, here's my other thing. Gyros from Costco. Renee has bought these just bags of pre-cut gyro strips, you know, like spelled G-Y-R-O. I learned how to pronounce it because of PETA Blue.
It's a gyro.
It's a gyro. at Costco, you can just get a bucket of tzatziki sauce. You can get these pre-cut strips of the gyro meat, and you can get some pita or even some naan. It is my favorite thing on planet Earth to eat that I can make in like 10 minutes. They are a 9.5 out of 10.
Dang.
It is, dude, it's so, if you find yourself craving Greek food, but and you have a Costco membership, you can put one of the bags in your fridge, one in the freezer, and then just have them forever. A little arugula if you want. You can put hummus on it instead of tzatziki sauce. Oh!
Shot clock violation, turnover.
I don't even care. I'm taking shots after the buzzer. I'm shooting in my own basket about how much I love the gyros from Costco. God, they're good. Beards.
Let's see.
Oh, do you want me to, am I supposed to pick?
I don't care. I'm going with Tenet. I finally saw Tenet.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's wild. You do not have to sit there and try and understand all the crazy time stuff that is happening while the movie's going on. The action scenes are awesome. I wish I had seen this movie in theaters or would have been able to see it in theaters because, you know, pandemic and all that stuff. It's freaking wild. It's so much fun. There are really good action scenes. I would give it an 8 out of 10.
Really?
8 out of 10.
I'm going to do the thing where I tell you guys which one you're reviewing. So, like, right now, Rudy, Lemon Oreos.
Yeah, so I went to the grocery store the other day to get some, I was out of peanut butter, so I needed peanut butter for my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I was just like craving Oreos, so I went to get Oreos, but there were lemon Oreos. And I was like, huh, I like the taste of lemon. Oreos are good.
Yeah.
Lemon Oreos are 10 times better.
Whoa!
I don't know why people aren't eating Oreos that aren't lemon Oreos. I maybe it's not, I just really like the taste of lemon. It's they're 10 out of 10. They're perfect.
Are they, question, are they chocolate with lemon filling?
No, like a vanilla wafer. Okay. Or not wafer, but, you know, vanilla
the cookie.
Cookie, yeah.
Okay. Love Oreos.
So good.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, I had an Oreo in, like...
I've got a box of them.
I don't know. It might have been, like, legitimately a decade since I've had an Oreo. I couldn't tell you, but I was just like, I want Oreos. And so I bought a thing of Oreos, but I bought lemon.
That sounds wonderful. There's some real stinker Oreo flavors, but lemon being good, not a surprise. Sounds wonderful. The video game Hades, but now with God mode. I've definitely talked about the video game Hades before. Pretty much everyone who likes video games at all should play it. It's really fun. It's a roguelike that is not miserable to play whenever you die because it basically just makes you learn more about the story as you go. It's a very fun game, even though it's not typically my genre. But just turn on God mode at the beginning. Every time you die, you get a little bit stronger against damage. It doesn't make your weapon any stronger. It doesn't make you any, like... way overpowered. It just makes you a little harder to kill, which is a really nice feature. Got back into it with God mode, shot clock violation. It's a very good game. It's better to just turn on God mode. 8 out of 10. 8.5 out of 10. I really like it. It's a very good game. Beards.
Yes.
Stellaris.
Stellaris is basically Space Civilization. I've been wanting a good space game to play recently. I found this. I downloaded it. It's pretty good. There are a lot of times, though, it's real time. It's not turn-based. So there's a lot of time where you're kind of waiting around for, like, your planets to develop or your fleets to get built or whatever. That part sucks. There's a lot of DLC that you kind of need to get, like, the full experience. And it's a little expensive for what it is sometimes. It's still fun. I give it a 7 out of 10.
It sounds like a chore.
Did you pay for the game, Beards?
I did.
It was free 2 weeks ago on the Epic Game Store.
Oh, I've had it longer than that. I got it on
Steam.
Oh,
okay. Gotcha. I was just going to say, like, the only reason why I know the game is because I just saw it was on the Epic Game Store for free.
I enjoy it.
It was like their weekly free thing.
I enjoy it, but there's
not the DLCs, stuff. Just the base.
Just the base game.
Because I did remember seeing that too, where there was like other, you know, parts of this product, and there was like, exaggerating here. There's like 20 DLCs.
There's a lot of them are like unlocking a race of characters or whatever. So it's like you get the more humanoid. There's like machine ones or whatever. They're like the bigger expansion packs to actually do stuff. But like the characters packs are like $6.
I'm not surprised,
which is kind of a lot.
All the Beards likes the game because like it looks like a game that's right up his alley. It looks like a lot.
It can be.
My life in which I would have been down for that. I've just realized I'm just like the open world game. Like it was like used to be my favorite type of game. I'm just past it. It's just some games are just too much.
It's more than 24 seconds.
Yeah,
I know.
I'd like to do a shot clock review of Valentine's Day.
Oh, wait, hang on. I wasn't ready. Okay.
You only had nine. Here's the thing about Valentine's Day. I think Valentine's Day was way overrated, but it got so overrated that now it's actually underrated. It's pretty chill if you just stop worrying about it. Even if you're single, just get like some chocolate and watch a movie and accept the fact that it's a holiday. We could all use more holidays, even if it's totally created by Hallmark and relatively stupid. Just a day that you have to acknowledge as being a holiday is not that bad. It's almost never bad. 7.5 out of 10.
I don't really like holidays.
I like it when I don't have to work on holidays.
I'm trying to figure. I think Beards has more left than Rudy does at this point. No, you've already got two. Beards, The Expanse Season 4. There's been a real theme of sort of sci-fi bubbly
for
you today.
Yeah, I mean,
today.
Kind of. I've already talked about the first three seasons of The Expanse. First one was fine. The other two were freaking awesome. That trend continues with Season 4. It's the first one that Amazon picks up. It makes it a little more planet sidebound instead of like a lot of space stuff, though. I will say, I'm not saying that Mass Effect Andromeda and The Expanse Season 4 have been copying each other's homework, but it looks really similar. 9 out of 10.
I'd like to talk about Knives Out. I finally watched Knives Out. Have you guys seen Knives Out?
I have! Good movie!
It's just a good movie. You're asking questions. It's a kind of a little murder mystery kind of thing, kind of Clue vibes or whatever. It's a really good cast. It's got some fun little twists. It's got really good characters. You don't have to worry about, like, a big spoiler or whatever. It's just a good movie that kind of keeps you guessing, but you're not on the edge of your seat so much that you're not even enjoying it anymore. It's a good 7.5 out of 10 for Knives Out. I really enjoyed
it. That's low.
Is that too low?
Yeah.
I don't want to give it an 8 or a 9. I think it's really good. I just really liked it. Is it an 8? Can I give it an 8?
I would.
Okay, fine. 8's fine. I give it 7.5.
Oh, okay.
It's good. It's
for some reason, I thought you said 9 out of 10. I was like, did Beards just say it was too low on a 9
out
of 10?
Beards has very high standards. No, it's just a good movie that people should watch. You should just watch it. It's a good use of 2 hours.
I believe it's on Amazon Prime.
I don't think it is anymore, actually. No, it is.
I ended up buying it, so.
Okay. Yeah, it's good. You can log into Beards' Amazon Prime account. It's his email.
Oh, no, I bought, like, the DVD. Blu-ray.
You can go over to Beards' house, and he'll let you borrow the Blu-ray.
Why are people buying physical copies of movies?
Rudy, I'm going to talk about the most recent Pokemon Go event that you paid money to play.
It was a good, solid event. Like, I literally killed, like, 12 hours. Like, I was on my phone for basically 12 straight hours. Like, it kept me busy throughout the day. It would have been better if there wasn't snow on the ground or a pandemic going on, to where, like, actually being able to walk around, like, downtown KC would have definitely made the event better.
Shiny Ditto?
But got a shiny Ditto, got a shiny Mew, got a shiny Articuno. Like, it was a good day.
Did you get the shiny Mew already?
Or no, shiny Mewtwo. Sorry, shiny Mewtwo.
Oh, yeah, you got the shiny Mewtwo.
I got a shiny Mewtwo, shiny Articuno, shiny Ditto, and I have access to a shiny Mew. I just got to do that whole process. That's going to take a while. It's going to be a few months before I get that thing.
What would you rate that experience out of 10?
I would say it was like a 7.5 out of 10.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think I'd probably go out
of
7.
I think it would have been better if there was the ability to actually, like, again, get out.
Go walk around the park and be around human beings.
For sure.
Yeah.
But there was snow on the ground and there's a pandemic. And I'm not really going to, I can't blame, you know, Pokemon Niantic for that.
I can.
The snow, I can't. The pandemic, a little bit.
I would like to talk about one of my weird new guilty pleasures.
Uh-oh.
Is this another gyro thing?
Watching Among Us videos on YouTube. It's just streamers playing Among Us, and then they upload some, like, highlights or, like, they're in a good imposter game or whatever. It's something I've just found myself watching whenever I'm, like, eating breakfast in the morning or if I'm doing some sort of work task that's kind of just, you know, autopilot. I can have it on my second screen. And it's just been sort of a pleasant, not super tense, but kind of mentally interesting little entertainment form that I did not expect to be hooked by. It's a good 8 out of 10. I enjoy it. Didn't expect to. Beards, Rhythm of War, Book 4 of Stormlight Archive.
It's the new one that came out in November. I finally got around to finishing it. There's a lot less, I feel like, that happens in this one than the other ones. It stays a lot in the same space. That being said, though, it still hits all the good parts really well. I would give it a 7 out of 10. It's my least favorite of the four that have come out so far, but that doesn't mean anything. The other three have been fantastic.
I make fun of Beards at times, but his ability to maximize his time.
For shot clock reviews or for
books? For life. Because think about it. Yeah. Beards, because here's the thing. He plays the longest games. He watches the longest shows. He reads the longest books. and he gets it all in.
It was like 1,200 pages.
The man, like, is perfectly maximizing every second of every day.
He's an efficiency machine.
It's wild. It's something I never really think. I never really thought of Beards as efficient. Beards might be the most efficient person I know.
I would like to talk about WandaVision so far. We mentioned this, I think, on yesterday's show, but I'm going to give you a 24-second review of it. It is super interesting, super weirdly done, but in a way that is creative and in a positive sense. None of those are backhanded compliments. I really enjoy the risks that they've taken and the way they've told this story about a couple characters that I was not terribly invested in at the jump, and then have even kind of introduced some more things as they've gone. I'm very interested to see how it ends. Even if I don't like how they wrap up the season, I'm going to be glad that I watched it. 8 out of 10. And I'm also officially making Knives Out an 8 out of 10 because I do feel like I gave it a too low 7.5.
Did Yay! You see it was trending on Twitter because everybody found out that Elizabeth Olsen is related to Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen?
I did see
which,
that.
Here's the thing. I also did not realize this, but I found this out about a year ago.
Correct.
So I've known about it for a while, but yeah, it never really, because I remember thinking to myself, I think I was rewatching Endgame. I was like, you know, she does look a lot like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. And then I just like looked up and was like, oh, yeah, they're sisters.
I wonder why.
That makes sense.
Rudy, tell me about the Nintendo Direct.
It was nothing like, I didn't think it was anything like super crazy, but it was also the first like real Direct that they've had since the pandemic started. Everything else has been much shorter. I have like just some of the games here that they announced. They announced on the Switch the Tales from the Borderland, the Telltale game.
Oh, really?
So that is going to be on the Switch. That seems interesting. The thing that made me, if I can find it now, I've lost it all of a sudden. World's End Club. It looks like it might be a spinoff of the End of the World game that you played. Is that what it was called? It was like the old Game Boy Advance. The artwork was weird.
The World Ends With You?
The World Ends With You. It looks like it might be a spinoff
of that
game.
I played that on DS. What's it called?
World's End Club. It's the same art style, so it looks like it might be a spinoff. It made me think of that game, though.
That would be very interesting.
Whoops. Actually opened a video.
I also never played... I never got The World Ends With You back on Switch, but it was such a good DS game. Early into
so it. And if you're if you like Splatoon, Splatoon 3 was announced. A new Zelda game. We have bleeped the shot clock.
Yep.
I was trying to find. There was one game I was just trying to find just to give you because I had it and I lost it on
this
my
box
on my
score
phone.
Is gonna be ugly.
It is. There's a lot of untraditional turnovers.
Also, real fast for you, Josh. Project Triangle Strategy. It is. It looks like a very. It is a very JRPG game that fits like we've talked about that we liked growing up.
Yeah.
But it looks like a little twist, a more modern take to it, I would say.
Beard, this one is the first one of yours. I think that I wanted to know about Tenet. That's not fair. This is the second one of yours that I think may actually impact me in a major way.
Okay.
Tell me about Chain Cube.
So Chain Cube is a game that I downloaded on my phone yesterday. Do you remember 2048 at all?
Absolutely.
It was the game where you like combine two twos together to get a four, two fours to make an eight, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But instead of doing it in just like a little square, it's more in three dimensions. So there are actual cubes you shoot at other cubes, and when they connect together, they'll bounce around, and obviously you have like a little finish line you have to make sure they don't get to. I've enjoyed it. I played for like 2 hours or whatever the past 2 days. 8 out of 10. Solid.
I'm looking at it in the App Store right now. I was going to say it looks like a game with a bleep load of ads.
Yeah, but I paid the $5 to get rid of ads.
$5 on a mobile game. That's a lot, says me and Rudy, who spent a combined $36 on Pokemon Go last weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Real glass houses for Rudy and I throwing stones right at you in your $5 on a mobile game, Beards.
Yep. Our game was good.
So is this one. I gave it an 8 out of 10.
I'm very tempted by it. It does seem...
Look at the art style, and it just... I don't know.
It looks like a game that got made with a relatively small development team that is going to have an ad between basically every round. But, you know, there's a time and place for that. I'm still playing that Penguin Isle game, and it's got a lot of... You have to watch ads to, like, get stuff sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
And it's just... That's part of the mobile game ecosystem. You can either pay $5 for it, or you can watch the ads. I would like to tell you about Unsweetened Peanut Butter. This was a change that I wanted to make recently. So I wanted to try it. I'm a big crunchy peanut butter fan, but all of the sort of big name, brand name peanut butters that your Jifs and your Peter Pans and your Skippies and all that, they also have a bunch of extra sugar in them. And I'm not like freaking out about sugar in my peanut butter, but it seems like something that I don't need them to put there for me. If I'm going to have waffles, I'm going to put syrup over the peanut butter. I don't need all of it there individually. You can definitely tell. It's unsweetened peanut butter is definitely a little bit of a different game, and it was like a 4 out of 10. I'm still eating it. I'm going to get through it all, and it's fine, but it was a little bit of a disappointment. 4 out of 10 for unsweetened peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy, tell me about watching The Office again.
I've obviously, it's a show I watch quite frequently. It has now since moved to Peacock, and they have, since NBC obviously owns Peacock, they have things like deleted scenes and just extra scenes, and I guess you could say director's cuts, and so some of the episodes, I think starting with season 3 and on, just have like extra scenes thrown into them, so like there's a little bit of a twist as you rewatch episodes, and it's been fun. It's been a nice 8 out of 10.
I'm actually very tempted to watch. I finally started paying for Peacock for some reason. I remember what Renee and I think we were rewatching Parks and Rec is what it was.
It's a good solid app.
I would like to tell you about the new socks that I'm wearing today. I bought these new socks. I bought a bunch of things off of Nordstrom Rack's website because they have some very good prices. I really needed slippers. But I also got these gray, just sort of like slightly above the ankle sort of socks that I'm really a big fan of. I put them on for the first time today because I got them today. They got a little arch support in there. But it was tough because it was like $9 for like a 3 or 4 pack. Pairs, not individual socks. It'd be weird if I paid for exactly 3 socks. But I put them on and immediately felt magical, and they're very comfortable. And, you know, treat yourself. I don't know who needs to hear this, but treat yourself. Buy some socks that are kind of nice. They're a 7 out of 10 on the first wear. 8 out of 10 on the first wear. If they hold up, they'll be maybe even a 9. I'd also like to tell you about cleaning my car out. Whenever it was warm on Tuesday, I got home and I thought, you know what? It is light out. I am wearing socks. I'm wearing shorts right now. I was also wearing socks probably. But I'm wearing shorts right now, and I have not cleaned out my car in an incredibly long time. I found my allergy test from going to the allergist, I think 4 years ago. I found some receipts from work I'd had done on my car that I had thrown in my back seat years ago. I found a can of some sort of soda that had exploded and had all fully evaporated because it had been in there for quite a long time. Please clean your car. It feels like I'm driving a different vehicle. I wish I was driving a different vehicle because I'm tired of my car. But clean your car. 9 out of 10. Just do it. It's just worth it.
Yeah,
it took like 30 minutes.
I just clean my car like every day so that it never gets so bad that I have to do it at one time.
Some of us have several bags of fried chicken fast food places on the floor of our passenger seat.
It's not me.
Here's what I think it was for me. And this, you guys,
I do need to get mine detailed. Like, it needs a good vacuum, but I don't have like any actual trash.
I have a little hand vac I got in there. I had like 2 full bags of trash. It was not ideal. But what I think it was for me is that I commuted to MNU every day, and so being a commuter with no good like commuter space at MNU, I fully just like lived out of my car for the majority of 4 years, not literally but figuratively. And I think I got too comfortable with just having a full like, just basically a duffel bag and then also a pile of trash in my car at all times.
Your mom says you should clean your car out more often, and she likes the socks.
Thank you, Mom. I don't have Facebook comments working on the our little chat thing over here.
Oh, I'm getting them.
But
it just says Facebook. But
thank you for.
I assumed it was your mom. I went to the actual Facebook page to double check
and confirmed.
And it was. Yeah.
I did it. All right. I cleaned out my car. Give me a break. It's clean now.
By the way, at Oreo, good Twitter account.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Good to know. Beards.
Yes.
Tell me about halftime slam dunk hold on.
The slam
nope.
What?
Slam dunk contest.
Halftime slam dunk contest at Ass Game.
So why?
Oh, AS Game, All Star Game.
Why are we having this at halftime? This is a very dumb idea. I understand why they're wanting to do it. They're just wanting to get more people.
COVID
just
beards.
Getting to what, one more people for. Viewers on the All-Star game.
Bad take.
But, like, what is Zion going to do? He's going to play in the All-Star game, then come out at halftime of the locker room and just have a dunk contest. Why not do it before the game? That would be so much easier. They're doing the 3-point contest before the game anyway. Just do it then. 6 out of 10.
Still a good idea.
Also, it's going to take too long to do that then. What, are we going to have a 45-minute halftime?
You gave it a 6 out of 10.
Probably.
It's still the dunk contest.
Are you going to watch it, Josh?
You know what? I'm more likely to watch it all happening in one night. Maybe I'm playing Hades on my Switch, watching the full All-Star festivities.
My guess is I would be surprised if I watch any of it. Maybe.
I have not watched the standalone dunk contest in years.
I say I haven't watched the All-Star game itself, and it's been a minute.
I think I've watched the actual All-Star game more recently than I've watched the full dunk contest.
So I think they're still doing the target score thing this year for the All-Star game as well.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that. I definitely didn't watch last year, apparently. So I completely forgot that happened. I'd like to tell you about listening to old episodes of My Brother, and Me. This, even more so than the Weird Among Us videos that I've just gotten into the habit of watching, I have probably listened now to about 150 older episodes of My Brother, and Me over the course of the last, 6 months. I don't want to do the math on it because it'll drive me crazy. But just more often than not, especially at night whenever I get home, I just will play an old episode of My Brother, and Me. You don't have to be fully engaged, but you get some good chuckles, you get some positive energy. It's been a very, very, very helpful program over the course of a global pandemic. It is a 10 out of 10. The elusive, well-deserved 10 out of 10. Beards!
Yeah.
You have... No, Rudy!
Aw.
Beards!
Yes!
Rudy, give me a shot clock review of Beards. No.
Yeah, it's fine.
5 out of 10. Nothing wrong. Just right down the middle. I'll give you a 6 out of 10.
Well, thank you.
Just same as the dunk contest.
Six, yeah.
Okay.
Except for whenever you're not paying attention to the show because there's an NBA game distracting you.
Then it's a 4 out of 10. So, yeah, maybe 5 out of 10 is the right answer.
6.9 out of 10.
Nice.
Yeah, fine.
Rudy, tell me about G Fuel.
Yeah, so this has honestly been on this list for a long, long time, and we just kind of kept forgetting to talk about it. G Fuel's been good. I've been in this, I talked about it on the show and how I was going to get into it. Now we've been on the G Fuel kick for, some time now. And, I've been very happy with it. It's currently the only thing keeping me going right now. I have one in the morning. I have one basically at 6 a.m. every day, and then I have one at 6 p.m. every day. So anything that gets me through the day is right now.
That can't be
It's been like a 9 out of 10.
It's definitely not healthy, but it's a 9 out of 10.
I don't know. I think 2 G Fuels a day. I'm not going more than 2. More than 2 feels like that's where you get unhealthy.
I have definitely had... I was going to say, yeah, 2 days seems about right, but I do have the big cup, which is 1.5, and I've definitely had 2 of these in some days, which is 3, and that does give me the shakes.
1.5 scoops into it?
Yes.
Because I'm just curious. Okay.
Yes, I eyeball a scoop and a half. Do you pour the water first or the powder first?
I'm a water first guy.
Wow, you're a pervert. Wow, that's crazy.
No, I think that's
I almost
how you
didn't
do
even
it.
Ask because I was so sure that you would just do powder first.
You should do water first.
You're pouring the milk in before the cereal. Checkmate.
You know what? That's I don't got a comeback for that. Which I don't do. I don't pour the milk in, then pour the cereal in. Like I pour the cereal in, then the milk. That's fair.
Bad news, I tried on Twitch that if your passenger seat is not your trash can, then I'm not sure we can be friends. I also bought...
Mine's definitely not. I do have, usually a Quick Trip
like a
plastic
bag
behind my passenger seat. And then once it fills up, I then usually, it usually is here when I get here. I'm like, okay, this is full. I'm going to put this in a trash can here.
That makes sense. I actually bought on Amazon at one point.
Get another bag.
Like a little nylon trash bag, little container that you can just sort of strap to the back of a seat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. Also,
Aspen says water first always, otherwise the powder clumps up at the bottom. See? I agree with this take, actually.
Shake it harder, you weak boys.
There we go, Aspen.
Human Torch said
you.
Rudy's a monster for doing water first. So Twitch chat is split. If we had an intern, we could have them do a poll to say, what do you pour in first, your water or your G Fuel? And also, hey, G Fuel. Come sponsor the sport.
Hey,
how many sports talk radio shows you sponsor, G Fuel?
If anybody listening wants to check out G Fuel this whole weekend, use the code PKMNCAST.
He's not giving us money.
Yeah, but it's a Twitch streamer that I like, and we don't have a code. So
use promo code. Use promo code.
Once we can get that promo code, yes, that would be great.
Use promo code Slam Donk Contest.
But it's just PKMNCAST.
You can
off.
Use promo code The Expanse Season 4 for 30% off your G Fuel order. Beards!
Yeah.
I'm going to put in the Twitch since Josh ruined it all.
I mean, that's fine. Beards, yes. Give me your shot clock review of Beards' old headphones.
So I got these Audio Technica headphones, I think, in 2017, and I use them basically every day for the show. I love them. They're nice. They're comfortable. They sound great. They broke last week or the week before. I don't remember which. Just a little piece on the side broke off. I finally got my new ones in today. I missed my old headphones. They were very good. I would give them a 9.5 out of 10. They did break, but they lasted a long time, and they were very good. So I will 9.5 out of 10.
I want to save Rudy's for last. So Beards, I need you to go again.
Oh, okay.
No, I'll go again. Nah, here. Okay. I'll give you this one. Go ahead. Hit me. The Mandalorian. We finally finished watching it, and it's really good. It'll scratch your Star Wars itch 100%. There's some great kind of like pseudo callbacks to the original trilogy, but sometimes it's more of like it feels more like the original trilogy. The stories are good, the characters are good, most of the acting is very good. The puppets and the creatures, it's just a really wonderful experience. Baby Yoda's wonderful. It's like a 9 out of 10 TV show, I think. I really enjoyed The Mandalorian. Beards, yeah. Your final shot clock review. Hey, NBA, stop making jerseys in other teams' colors.
So, there are three major culprits of this. Milwaukee and Houston both wear blue, and every time they play, I keep looking up and going, oh, Dallas is playing. Oh, no, it's not Dallas. And then, why are the Denver Nuggets wearing Utah Jazz jerseys?
Right.
There are some other jerseys that are really good. There are, however, the ones that are continually outside color schemes. Also, Miami's Vice jerseys have kind of gone a little too far this year.
That's fair.
Also, there was a tweet I saw where they're going to have, like, bright yellow jerseys that are basically Mizzou jerseys. Why?
At least, let's...
5 out of 10.
Yeah, that's fair.
The one thing where I'll at least give, like, the NBA, like, a little bit of credit is they're at least allowing Nike to experiment. Now, with that, you're just going to get some bad ones.
Yeah.
But, like, the Nuggets, they've had three jerseys.
You can
right?
experiment and still be within the color scheme of your team.
Yeah, but again, the point
leaving
being,
leaving the
like,
color scheme is a weird move.
For sure.
It's
but
a
like,
very
like,
strange
the, move. The Nuggets, though, like, their city jerseys, they're 2 for 3. They had two excellent jerseys, and the third one that's bad, and it's, I mean, the jersey itself is not bad. It's just the fact that it looks exactly
it's
like Utah's
Utah
last year.
Color. Yeah.
But I can live with it. I would rather them continue to experiment and do crazy stuff, just knowing that, you know what, every year they're just going to be some real bad ones. But they're also going to be some real good ones.
Here's our last shot clock review.
it's weird.
Hey, Rudy.
I don't think I've seen this one, so I don't know what it is.
Hey, Rudy, can I get your shot clock review for sucking on your AirPods?
Yeah, so it's weird, man. So I had the problem where my AirPods were just getting quieter, which is a very common thing because they essentially earwax gets into the AirPods, and because there's a mesh protecting the speaker, mm-hmm. you get earwax into that mesh, and mm-hmm. it just quietens, it just makes your AirPods quieter.
Mm-hmm.
So to clean it, mm-hmm. This is what I we're going past 24 seconds, Beards. I went on the internet.
Play it again. Yep.
And everybody said
offensive rebound.
Basically, yep. The way you do it is the best way to clean it is to suck on your AirPod to essentially kind of suck the earwax out of the mesh, and then you use like an old toothbrush, ideally not a toothbrush you're still using, to then like
who cares
to brush the to actually get the earwax out. And you know what, it worked. All of a sudden I went from not being able to hear much out of my AirPods to can hear perfectly. It works. It's disgusting, but it freaking works. It's a 9 out of 10 because
what?
It works. It's disgusting, but it works. It's the only method I've tried. I've found that actually works. I tried like 10 of them. It works.
You can't just use a Q-tip?
No, because you have because
it's confusing.
It's inside the mesh, so you have to like remove it from the mesh. A Q-tip doesn't actually. A Q-tip. You could use a Q-tip once the earwax is out of that hard mesh like protector.
Just get a vacuum.
It doesn't work.
It's too wide. It doesn't get enough suction. Now, if it sounds like I'm suddenly an expert on this, it's because I've also done this.
Yes! Because it works! It is. Honey makes me happy. It is ooh. It is all kinds of ooh. But it works. You know
I
what?
Did see somewhere I'm someone said that if you like put like a cheesecloth like between your mouth and the AirPod, it creates a little barrier. so you don't have to feel like you're about to inhale your own earwax.
That's fair.
But I don't have a cheesecloth handy.
I don't either.
It works. I had the exact same problem and the exact same Googling experience at one point.
So if you're listening, I don't know if this applies to the AirPod Pros. My guess is the Pros, because they have that extra, plastic
piece. The earbud. That
that probably protects this from happening. So I don't know. My guess is this won't really be an issue with the AirPods Pros. But if you had the AirPod Gen 1 or 2, and you've just found it that it's quieter, the issue is that there's just wax just built it that is stuck in the mesh
blocks the speaker.
And if you want to make the sound come back, that's just what you got
to
do.
You can also go into your settings and turn the volume of an individual pod up or down.
Mine were up all the way, and it was still super quiet.
Or you can balance it.
Yeah.
Listen, I can't judge you.
And then I slipped on my AirPods, and it worked perfect.
I also, I am pretty obsessive about, I will use a Q-tip every time I take a shower. Maybe, same. And really, with the AirPod Pros, even more often than that, because they start falling out and stuff, I am a regular Q-tip user.
Yep.
And it's just a thing that happens.
It just happens.
It's just a thing that happens. And I'm not proud of it.
No.
I'm not glad that that's the system.
No. I wish there was a better way to clean them, but guess what?
Just not.
Just got stuck on your AirPods a little bit.
Well, that's what they want. They want you to just buy new ones because they're all dirty.
Well, if Apple wanted to sell me a $100 tiny vacuum so I never had to suck on my AirPods again,
I would buy it.
I would buy 100%. It, though, Beards. I wish that technology existed instead of only AirPod sucking technology, which is what Rudy's into these days. Boy, this segment got bad at the end.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.